Next item on the agenda is the President's report. President Ransdell.
I'll pick up where I just left off. I'm in an unusual situation for me in saying unequivocally that I'm not really sure how I need to describe this. We've had tough budgets since 2008. I don't know. 5-6 different budget cuts since then. About $10 million in our state appropriation. But based on the governor's budget, and let me state unequivocally that I applaud the governor for placing education and higher education as a priority. Financial aid, state financial aid programs were spared in this budget reduction scenario that he presented in his budget address Tuesday night. And higher education is receiving in the proposed budget less of a cut than other state agencies. Most state agencies are 8.4% or more, and higher education is 6.4%. And in our case, that's about $5 million. We've never had a budget cut that large. We just haven't. Now, we weren't completely surprised by being included in the reduction because the president's met with the governor early in January, and we got a briefing, and we saw this coming. But I'm the eternal optimist, and as you all know, with our whole pausing and strategic planning and everything over the last year or two, I was optimistic for perhaps maybe even a break-even budget this year where we weren't going to get much new money, if any. But I was hoping for break-even and for the cutting to come to an end. But the state's revenue profile with Medicaid and the pension fund as the two primary drivers to the deficit, but it's a deficit of over $1 billion. And as the governor said Tuesday night, we, the state, we've used all the tricks, we've used all the strategies, we've refinanced the bonds, we've cut, we've made created efficiencies, we've done all the things that were easily or could be identified. Well, echo WKU. In removing $10 million from our base budget, we've done the easy things. We've created the efficiencies. We've saved money on utilities. We've converted from coal to natural gas. We've closed for extra days to save energy. But we've not laid an employee off for budget reasons. And we've not had a single furlough day, unlike most state agencies and other universities. And as modest as it has been, we're the only university to have a compensation variable every year in this recessionary period since 2008. But $5 million out of our state appropriation, to put that in perspective, that's somewhere 2% of our total institutional budget from all revenue sources. But $5 million, any way you cut it, is $5 million. And we're a personnel-heavy institution. Some of our units, on which we're completely dependent, are down to very little operating capacity. If we were to do this across the board, we'd put some units out of business. And we're not going to do that. So this is going to be a difficult spring. And we don't know what the final budget will be because now the governor's budget goes to the House and the House will address it and then it will go to the Senate and the Senate will address it. And they'll come together in conference. The budget will be submitted to the governor and the governor will approve or not. That's pretty much the way the process will work. And that will run its course over the next 60 days or so. And in the meantime, the Vice President for Finance Administration and the Provost, and well, all the Vice Presidents, we will we will work hard to try to figure out how to do this. But I cannot begin to tell you how yet. I just can't begin to tell you how. But we will. And I will state that we will do everything we possibly can to preserve jobs, to preserve employment, and not lay people off and not do furlough days. Cannot guarantee that at this point. Absolutely cannot guarantee that at this point. I will share with you, Gordon, that the provost and I have met at length this week and with Ann. And Gordon said something yesterday at the University Senate meeting that may be the most significant announcement from a budget standpoint, maybe from a risk standpoint, but the most profound commitment to academic quality that I can recall. We're engaged in how many searches for key faculty positions right now?
77.
Mm-hmm. Some universities have already put a hiring freeze on and said stop. We're not going to do that. Because I don't know that the 77 new faculty positions we're hiring aren't more important than other faculty or staff positions. So we're moving forward with every one of those searches. And we're going to fund them. And that is one heck of a commitment in light of the news that we're grappling with this week. And I just can't imagine a stronger statement to the faculty, to academic quality, and to the faculty-student ratio.
That's right. That absolutely helps.
So, you know, this is a... I just want the board to know the gravity of this matter in play right now. And we'll get back to you. We have options. We have options, and we have dynamics. But this budget problem will be solved with redirection of funds. And we're going to examine every revenue profile and every expense variable. And I do not expect this to be... Take $5 million, spread it across divisions, everybody take an equal cut, and you go solve your problem, vice presidents, and let me know what you're going to do. But $15 million taken out of our budget since 2008 is significant, and we're going to deal with it. But that's, you know, I could go into a lot of things in this General Assembly. Robin is up there, she's up there daily, and her staff, and I was up there this week on Tuesday. There aren't many legislative matters that we're focused on. We don't have legislation that we're needing to get done this session. I will be sharing with you, each of you, a summary of some other matters that have been brought up. But by and large, we've got the news that we need to be focused on, and there's not going to be much need to spend a lot of time in Frankfurt this spring. We got to work
there anyway.
Huh?
I'll be there anyway.
But we got our work cut out for us right here at home, because I don't anticipate a lot of change to the governor's proposed budget. There's not. The matter of tax reform and of gaming and those kinds of things may get some conversation. I have no idea. Those aren't variables for us that we have any control over. If the revenue, I did speak with the governor personally on Tuesday evening, and his words, if we can just get through this biennium, the revenues are going to improve and we're going to have better budgets in the future. So, you know, that's a positive note, but I was kind of that position last biennium, hoping that improvement would occur this time. We'll deal with tuition, but, you know, we're not in a mode where we're going to be aggressive with tuition. just because of pricing and the marketplace. Although I do think we're well priced within our marketplace, but we're probably in a similar tuition context that we've been in recent years. So that's the way I describe the current legislative environment and the biennial budget going forward. So it certainly has my attention, and I know it has Gordon's attention and Ann's attention. And we're, I mean, I say Gordon because the preponderance of the budget is in the academic arena. But we're not going to undermine academic quality. And I'll get back to you on how we write this chapter going forward. How's that for a fire muffler?
Pretty good. Good. And don't envy your task.
Yeah. In the president's report, I did share with the board on January 6th the decision that had been made regarding the university's pouring rights contract. This is not something that we were bringing the board for action. That's an internal contractual matter, and this our pouring rights for bid, and we've been with Pepsi for 15 years, Gary. And this was a very competitive process when all the dynamics were weighed, both revenues and upside potential. We chose to go with Coca-Cola in our pouring rights contract, and I described to you some of the variables of that contract. But it is important to our students and to our faculty and staff, and it's over $6 million of revenue over the 10-year life of this contract, and more, perhaps, if sales grow. So we feel like more than thorough due diligence was given to this process, and that decision was made in the best interest of the university, both from a quality of life and a financial standpoint. Also on the agenda, the president's report, I wanted to share with you on page 46, and Anne certainly didn't ask that we share this, but she sent it to my attention a few weeks ago, and just wanted you to get a sense of the importance of the University Health Center in our campus quality of life, and the numbers are significant and growing, and I'm just very proud of the business plan and the services provided by the health center. Anne, any thoughts you'd like to add to that?
Yes, just a couple of observations. We may have not told the board that our goal for WKU Health Services is to be an accredited health center by the end of 2012, which much as the academic side of the house understands accreditation is very rigorous, so is it for health centers. And what makes it even more remarkable, of course I'll come back and brag when we get there, is that we're not associated with a medical center. You know, for example, the University of Kentucky with the hospital there and a complete complex medical program causes cooperatives and relationships to form because all of them are there. Cool. Actually makes it easier for a health center to be accredited. So we will be in a distinguished group because we do not have that. The other thing I would like to point out is that for years the perspective was, that's where students go. It is no longer, it's WKU Health Services, not Student Health. Because we serve the entire campus, our employees' families, and probably reach out into the community. What's evident is if you look at May, June, and July, and August, if you look in 2007 and you look across, look at the growth in the patient visits in the summer months when predominantly the students are gone. And what you see is this continual growth in our ability to provide patient care. So thank you for sharing it with the board, and we're proud of what the staff has accomplished in the services.
And what benefit do you receive by being accredited as a health center?
Again, it allows us to create a greater confidence for the people we'll serve. we want to be able to market it. We'll probably we're careful about our growth and how much marketing we do, because we want to gear programs and services and staffing to meet the needs gradually. We don't want to start advertising or have accredited programs and services until we can staff appropriately. But I think it just talks about the quality, and we were able to tell our patients that they should feel confident being able to come to our campus.
It has to do with something about getting the third-party payments from insurance companies.
No, it does not have a fiscal variable. Other than that,
it will
yield more patients.
The faculty goes there, I assume, don't they?
We're tracking that, and we'll do what we think will meet their needs. Hopefully, what we'd like to see is more families choose WKU Health Services.
WKU families.
Yes, that's our first priority.
Okay.
Before turning it over to John, on the construction report. The board was copied on a communication, this is not on the agenda, but the board was copied on a communication from the Bowling Green Regional Airport, and I just thought I'd put that in perspective. That was kind of an odd communication, I thought. But we had a charter flight out of the airport this fall that had to be diverted to Nashville because the stairs didn't reach the door to the plane, and it didn't meet FAA standards, I guess. And so we had to bus the football team to Nashville to fly out to an away game on a charter flight that was scheduled to go out of Bowling Green. I guess this is kind of an apology letter from the airport, and the board was copied on it, so I just wanted to put that in context of why you got that. But I just saw it yesterday for the first time myself. Normally we try to give you a heads up on things that would come to your attention, but that matter was handled, and it wasn't a big deal. So that's why you got that letter. John, construction report.
Before we get into construction report, embedded in your materials is this one sheet announcement that I'd like to draw your attention to first. And that is that we just recently learned that when the Princeton Review is going to be published later this spring, in fact, it will be published its third edition on Earth Day in April of 12, and in that publication, Western will be, for the third time in a row, 3 years in a row, listed as one is among the green colleges in America. So that's another significant accomplishment on the part of the university related to our efforts in sustainability, and an acknowledgement of the quality of our programs. And in addition to that, and this sheet that I've distributed at your positions will describe what the Princeton Review is and how it's published and so forth. But in addition at your positions is the copy of the 2011 Sustainability Report. In this case, this report is prepared annually by Christian Ryan Downing, who's with us this morning, and I'd like to compliment her on her work in her regards to sustainability on campus, and especially this annual report. This particular report focuses on the fact that there is an organization you may not have awareness of, and that is, it's called ASHI, and it's the American Association for the Advancement of Sustainability in Higher Education. And this report will profile for you what that organization is, how we are a member of that organization, how it is the best method for us to evaluate and participate in a program related to sustainability in higher education only. So this only focus of this organization is sustainability in higher education. The report does a very good job of profiling the organization and what the ASHI STARS program and rating system is. And so you will find when you review this report that Western has been rated amongst the colleges and universities in America in a very favorable light, and that we have a bronze rating. And we have room for improvement, and we are working on that. But I just wanted you to be aware that this is a very well done report and where we are on that.
Well done, Christy.
Now with that, we can turn our attention to the construction report that is in your agenda, beginning on page 47. I'm going to call Brian Russell forward to walk us through that, if he would.
Good morning. I'm going to pass out first a pamphlet to everyone that describes and has a little history on the music hall, music rehearsal hall that is being completed, and is actually occupied for our spring semester of 2012. There's a lot of, this is a companion report and only highlights some of the projects that we are currently working on for Western Kentucky University. We have today going to do the music hall, catering kitchen, the USDA head house, greenhouse, theater project, renovation project, a couple of projects out at the Center for Research and Development. Gordon's kept us very busy out at the center this fall, so there's a lot of things going on. Later on today, we're going to have an opportunity to go through the new music hall. That project has been ongoing. And it's a beautiful building. It's on a beautiful setting. It's in a historic location where an existing music building once stood. And I think that's kind of interesting and coincidental of how that site was located. Out at the Carol Nicely Center, we have done a strategic relocation of a catering kitchen that has been historically located at our Garrett Conference Center. This right now what we're seeing are just the finished shell of the site. This is a Halton Hood. I want to mention the Halton Hood because these were donated to the project from Halton, who is a leasee out at the Center for Research and Development. And it was in joint cooperation, and it is a gift and a nice ad, very energy efficient. I do want to give them some notoriety for providing those items. This is going to allow our campus to take a lot of our deliveries, truck traffic, up at a very busy part of the top of the hill. So that catering kitchen relocation that will be completed in February is strategic in our operations, and it should be more very useful to us for our pedestrian traffic and eliminating traffic on top of the hill. We have just finished a project out at the farm. It's an 800-acre facility located out Nashville Road. You can see, I may push the wrong button, but whoops, I knew it would. Jeff, you're going to have to help me. Okay. Anyway, Nashville Road, Bennett Lane, the red circle indicates the location of the new head house greenhouse that's just been completed. This is an overall shot of the head house on the left and the greenhouse on the right. $2.6 million facility. It's a joint effort. Actually, it's a USDA-funded project, federally funded project, but it will help us in a cooperative effort between WKU and our research opportunities. This is the greenhouse portion, the shot inside. This is what they call a head house, and located inside the head house is the actual laboratory benches location for that facility.
Go back to that, Brian. Just wanted you to study that photo just a few more seconds, because that'll be the last state the federal appropriation we or any other university will get for a while. The earmarks are no more in the federal budget, and we don't know what form that might take in the future, but this is the last one that we'll receive for a while.
Perhaps even more, and more importantly, but perhaps more critical, is that this is a location of a United States federal lab, USDA research lab in Kentucky. Kentucky, which has been a major priority for both our state and federal legislators for quite some time. So the fact that it's here on our campus and we were able to salvage that in this whole process of the federal budget reorganization is a great testament. And thanks to Brian and his staff for making sure that that happened.
And we'll dedicate this in a few weeks.
This is a finished shot of the what used to be our theater, where we bring every new freshman student in for orientation. It was dark and gloomy and dismal. The seat just slid off the front, and with funding and an eye for flair, this is the finished product. It's absolutely beautiful. I do want to recognize Howard Bailey, and I thought this photograph captured the spirit and the social heart for every student on our campus. Typically we'll go through, and we're now calling it the auditorium, and I thought it was important to show his dedication and leadership in this process. One of the things that has happened in this revitalization or repurposing of this space is the access onto the stage area, and it was Howard Bailey's initiative and drive to provide to our students an easy access from the actual auditorium area onto the stage. We call these stage extensions, but they're also accessible extensions right onto the stage. And that wasn't available before, except for leaving the building, going around to the back of the house and coming in, and that's very important to our campus. This is from standing on the stage looking back. I want you all to notice a trend that Dr. Ranstall has been inspiring, is to start branding our new facilities. And I didn't really understand that until I visited some other universities, and it was described to me that we would like to be able to take you into a room blindfolded, take that blindfold off, and you need to know where we are. And I think this is a perfect example. If you walked in and took that blindfold off, you would know you're at Western Kentucky University. But the project turned out great. As part of that project, we are getting ready to embark on the Downing University complete renovation project. I know you all have seen these pictures and renderings. We have them up on our website, the PDC website. But the transformation that's going to happen over the next 2 years in this facility is going to be phenomenal. We have three bid packages, and this is really what I wanted to update you all on, is we have bid package 1, 2. They're going to be done simultaneously or concurrently. We're doing a site relocation, and we're going to go ahead and start doing some selective demolition inside the building. And then the third package is going to be renovations and additions to the building, which is the rest of the project. What's important for the campus and for our leadership is that these are the first bid package 1 and 2 going out in February, and then we are actually going to start construction and mobilization in March on the Avenue of Champions side of Downing University Center. It's going to be quite a transformation. There's been a tremendous amount of cooperation amongst our students, our faculty, our staff, because we were having to relocate, repurpose spaces, and there's been a tremendous amount of work behind the scenes and a lot of cooperation to make this process become reality. And I want to compliment everyone at Western for the work we've been doing. The bid package number 3 is going to be the largest of the bid packages that go out. And as you can see, we are planning on starting this process the day after commencements, which will be Monday, May 14th of this year. And the project is to be substantially complete 1st of July, and then ready for our students to enjoy for years and years to come.
July 14th.
I'm sorry, July 14th.
STL doesn't. Great.
2014.
Yeah.
2 year project. Center for Research and Development. Gordon has kept us very busy, and I say busy, the planning department. We've done many projects out for them in the last fall. This is a real testament to employing our students, our new graduates. This is a technology center. This happens to be for one of their clients. It's Pure Power. It's a Navistar company. It's a true R&D facility for that facility or for other companies located in the United States. We're working on that project currently. It's under construction. They were an existing customer that has grown, and the company has chosen to stay in Bowling Green, Kentucky because of our resources. And our resources are our students. I think is one of the primary reasons.
Can I just add one thing?
Absolutely.
What's particularly nice is that the parent company also considered putting such a facility in Columbia, South Carolina. And the fact that they've chosen to locate it here is particularly nice for me, having left that.
Where are they?
We have just recently also completed out the Center for Research as a materials lab, where we have taken a lot of the advanced equipment that has been scattered amongst different locations or maybe even put back on a shelf somewhere because we didn't have the proper place for it. We've worked with Dr. Webb and assembled this space at the center. It's going to be an area where the community and our students and others can come in and utilize that space, do additional research and additional testing, and primarily learning space for that center.
We will somehow, we haven't given too much thought yet about how we'll do our retreat this summer, but we will want to... I would like for the board to see a number of things that have been unfolding in the Center for Research and Development, the scanning electron microscope, the high-speed computing center, a number of new things that have opened just in recent months. So at some point in our board retreat this summer, I want to take you back to the Center for Research and Development and give you some firsthand insight into a half a dozen different projects that are unfolding out there and that are now open and important variables in our academic community. So, Gordon, just kind of begin thinking about that, and we'll talk about a schedule for the retreat. But I want to factor a couple hours in for you all to see what's unfolding at our Center for Research and Development these days.
Excuse me, President. And so you updated the board on what the governor recommended on the operating side. I thought maybe I'd interject that you might share with them on the capital, because much of what we've accomplished has been either the last one being the College of Education building, but much what you see is WKU's resources and bonding our own ability to address our own capital needs. So I thought you might want to
say that. And Ann and Robin fill in the blanks if I leave something out. But there's not a lot of capital project money in this governor's proposed budget. It's probably the most lean capital budget that I've seen in 15 years. Most of what's been approved, there is some highway fund money, but that's a different part of the state budget. Most of the money approved for construction is agency bond authorizations, and sometimes when you read a report of the governor authorized $470 million in bonds and universities or whatever, most of that is agency authorization, which means the state gives us the authorization for us to issue our own bonds to do projects. And we had two projects approved in that process, the balance of the funds needed for the Downing University Center and an international center / honors college building, which we're a long way from being in a financial model that will fund that yet. But at any rate, we're authorized for those two projects in the coming biennium. And then there was a capital renewal pool of $25 million. That will require a match on our part in order to access that pool, and I would expect that pool to be divided up proportionately based on university's share of the higher ed budget. So we'll get something close to 10% of that, 9% maybe. And then we will put that toward in-ground electrical, in-ground steam line replacement, other capital renewal deferred maintenance needs on campus. Because we have a budget for those kinds of things, we will be able to match that based on normal expenditures we do over the course of the biennium. And it's not going to be a lot of money anyway, a couple million dollars maybe for us. So that'll leave...
With the caveat that all that's in the governor's proposed budget.
Yes, yes, yes.
The two projects on the agency bond list are the two projects that we requested for agency bonds. We did not request anything above and beyond that. Some universities have more because they requested more, and all of any university who's doing agency bond projects is doing those projects with their money. Revenue generated. It's not state bonds, and that's a little bit of an issue that's confusing some people now. If we have $39 million, I have a list if you're interested in what we just got. But the point is, that's the governor's proposed budget. This is, you know, still subject to lots of change between now and April.
The only other facility-related item that's written into the budget is the authorization for a lease as regards to the project in partnership with the Medical Center in Bowling Green to have a lease. The state must authorize a lease in excess of $250,000. That authorization is written into the budget language, so assuming the state passes the budget, we would have that authorization. I'll be briefing you in due course on that project. We met with the Secretary of Finance and Administration this week to get approval for a long-term lease, and I'll get back to you on that project as that authorization is as expected, received in the next few weeks. That's pretty much it on the capital side. I mean, I wish I could tell you that the projects were funded and the final phase of the Thompson Complex center wing renovation, which is our number one capital priority. We're just going to have to be patient.
There was only one university bonded project included in the governor's proposal, and that was $4 million for the Griffith Center, for the veterinary center at Murray. And he didn't discuss that as a post-secondary education or university project. He discussed it as
that's a facility in Hopkinsville, actually.
The progress of the bond, agency bond funds go to universities.
My report.
Okay, the last item is other business. If you note our upcoming meeting schedule, March 23rd, committee meeting, April 27th is second quarter. Someone tell me what an evening of dance.
Four nights of it.
They need some shoes. Performing.
That there is no expectation on your part to dance.
To do so.
Our Department of Theater and Dance is just terrific, and they have a winter dance and an evening of dance, two major dance productions in the calendar year. And on the evening of our April 27 board meeting, one of those performances is scheduled for that evening. So those of you who would like to stay over, we'll have dinner and go to the evening of dance. Those of you who would like to watch our students in the Department of Theater and Dance perform. Julia, we'll get back to you on details, but for those of you that can stay over, we would welcome the chance to have dinner and go to that performance. I think you would really be impressed with the quality and skill of our students and our Department of Theater and Dance.
It's really fun.
Yeah, it's very cool. So anyway,
next item.
That's what that one's about.
Next item is the dedication of the music building on May 4th. Commencement May 11th and 12th. Any questions or comments on those two items? I need to announce that we will be touring the music hall, have lunch at the Chinese Learning Center, and we'll have informational sessions regarding foundations. No action will be taken during the afternoon informational sessions. Any other new business from the board?
Chair, before we go, no new business, but I'd like to make a comment before we dismiss. Obviously, you know, you don't hear every day and receive messages every day that you're going to have to undergo a severe type of budget cut like we're going to be facing here in the next few months. you know, this is a road that anybody that's been here for a long period of time that we've gone down before. Not to this severity, obviously, but I want to, first of all, commend Dr. Ransdale and all of our administrative council and vice presidents for the leadership, the forward and creative thinking that we have portrayed in the past to keep positions here, keep people employed, and not have any undue harm come to those individuals and not having to accept a furlough. I think that's absolutely incredible from a staff standpoint, what we have been able to accomplish with the leadership that we have in place. Do we face a severe challenge? We most certainly do, but I'm very thankful that we have the leadership in place that we can tackle this head on and move forward. We don't know what this is going to envision going forth. You know, I hope that we can proceed with our 77, I believe that's correct, 77 faculty positions without unnecessary sacrifice to some very, you know, qualified staff and other faculty positions. But, you know, this is yet another challenge that we will face and we will overcome. And I just want to leave that as a positive going forward. Thank you.
Thank you, James.
Well spoken. Jim? I can just make one other comment. I was talking to one of the former faculty members, and he commented that, you know, we've given raises to the athletic department, on and on and on. And just to echo what Dr. Mather said a little bit, that I know that this board is on record as fully supporting our faculty and staff and so appreciative of the fine work they do. And we realize that with all the wonderful leadership and everything else that we have, it's a team effort, like you said. And we have one of the best faculties and staff of any university in this country, bar none.
I agree. Thanks, Jim. Anyone else?
I mentioned the 77 faculty. There are a number of staff positions on that list as well, and they're continuing also.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you, Gordon. We're not going to back off. What we've got to do as a university community to achieve our vision, and we will.
How's the prospects for your basketball coach?
I think we got him.
Why don't you go to Murray State and pick that coach up? Get the coach from Murray. I mean, they're undefeated, aren't they? Roth's trying to help you.
Julia, are you taking minutes on this meeting?
We're off the record now.
We are adjourned. Ross, but you can reply to that.
After adjournment. Any direction for us before we adjourn?
You are welcome to leave your things here if you would like, because the bus will bring you back here, or you can pack them with you if you so choose. We will lock the door.
Without objection?
Yearbook?
The heavy book.
Yeah.
Everybody has that. So the first time I've seen it, too. So there you go.
Why is the name changed?
No.
It says
first time I've seen it, too.
Did they change it? I guess they just started have to take another book that people heard of and put it on the
table. It's still the
Talisman. I'm right here. Motion to adjourn.
Please.
Move. Second it.
Second.
All in favor.
Aye.
Yeah.